Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erevin Daf Samach. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Samach Omed Aleph, 17 lines from the top. You might find it easier to note the third wide line of the Gemara in the middle of the line, Hano B'nei Kakunoi. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we have a topic heading and a structural note that we want to pay attention to. First of all, notice we have a long Maisa ahead of us, as the long marking indicates, to the side of the Gemara. Under our Nosei, our topic heading, we have the following. Maisa she'irvu ir v'shiu shiur. There was an incident where a city was joined together for the purposes of carrying within it on Shabbos. And in accordance to the sugya that we learned at the in our previous shiur, that if you have an ir shel rabim, so you have to leave a section of the city that's not included in the eruv. Sheilas mafteach. The key question is, ha'im mashem ashirim kishiur, that which we are going to leave as not included in the Eruv, tzorch lios lo efshus b'mitzius l'schaber l'Eruv, does there exist a necessity for the potential of joining them together? Must a potential for joining them together exist? L'fi loshen ha-Gemora, the language of the Gemara states this as follows: I boi leruvi motzum arvi. If they had wanted to join in the Eruv, they physically could have, and it's that kind of group of houses that we leave excluded. This presents the possibility that if that which was left excluded couldn't have been physically joined to the rest of the city anyway, so that might not constitute a shiur, that which fulfills the requirements of that which is left unincluded. If this is not clear at this point, hopefully in the course of the Gemara it will become a little clearer. We notice, as we said before, that this is a long Maisa. In the margin, you will notice we have a Mivne heading, where triangles in two different directions are featured. We have noted under our Mivne heading, Simunim kidei la'akov achrei ha-hitlabtut shel abaye. These triangles represent the keeping track of Abaye's deliberations, his doubts and deliberations in two directions. With the narrow point facing up, im efshar oso shiur bli tikun nosof, if possible, the shiur can be a good shiur without any additional needs to make reparations. And with the triangle flipped over, the point facing down, otzorich tikkun, the nidon didan. In our case, the tikkun that might be necessary is asiyas chalonos, the making of windows in order to join houses to the rest of the city. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Hano b'nei kakunoi, it's the name of a place. So the members of that community, de'osi lekamei da'rav Yosef, they came to Rav Yosef, they approached Rav Yosef, omru le, they asked of him, hav lon gavra de'lariv lon mosin, present to us a man that can join together our city. In other words, he can take care of the halachic aspects of creating an eruv in the community. There is a Rashi that we want to note. Dila'arev Mosin, Rashi you'll see across from here more or less, V'ir shel rav, nasa shel yochid, havya, uboya, shiur. This was a city that had once been an ir shel rabim that we had learned about in our previous shiur, and is now, according to Rashi's explanation, the population diminished, and it's now classified as an ir shel yochid. And as a result of this, as a result of its origin being an ir shel rabim, as we learned in our previous shiur, there is the necessity of leaving some houses excluded, not part of the Eruv. So, in the Gemara, we continue, Omar le Abaye, Rav Yosef turns to Abaye, and he says, Zil Arev Lehu, go prepare for them the Eruv, V'chazi delo matzvichis adlo bevei midrasha, and see to it that no one, matzvichis literally means to scream, or in this case, protests about the Eruv that you will make. No one in the base medrash will protest that which you've done. So be careful. See to all the details. Ozal, he went. Abaye went. Now we should also turn to diagram 115 in the Pirush Chai. This diagram is found on page 129. Ozal chozo lano boti depsichi lenahara. He went, that's Abaye, went to Kakunoi, and he noticed that there were houses that opened to the river and had no entranceway facing the rest of the city. So these houses were disconnected in a sense from the rest of the city. Omar, so now notice the triangles, and we're going to keep track of a back and forth, a type of deliberation that goes on in Abaye's mind. So Omar, Hani, Lehevi, Shiur, Lamasa. He said, let these houses be the Shiur. In other words, I will join the rest of the city together in an Eruv, and these cities will be left out of the Eruv. Hodar Omar, Ein Ma'arvin Es Kula, Tanan. Then Abaye had second thoughts and says, the Mishnah said that when you have an ir shel rabim, you don't ma'arev the entire city. That's what it says in the Mishnah. And this expression implies, michlal, that implies the iboi l'ruvei motzi marvei, that the houses that you are going to leave out are houses that could have been included in the Eruv, and you deliberately leave them out. Now, but these houses, being that there was no access between them and the city, their opening faced only the river, so they couldn't have been part of the Eruv in the first place. Physically, there was no connection between the cities and the rest of the community. Ela, Avid, Luhu, Kovi. So, look in illustration 116. Abaye says, I will make windows in the houses, measuring 4x4 tvachim, facing the city. The Gemara says, had they wanted to join up with the rest of the cities using their windows as their access points, so they could have. And we dashed underline the expression because that's the expression indicating the potential, their potential for having joined with the rest of the cities, with the rest of the city residents through the windows would exist. Hodar Omar, and now the triangle positions again facing up, which indicates that maybe there's no need for any additional tikkun. Hodar Omar, lo boi, then Abaye says, no, I don't need to make the windows. Deho rabo bar avua, ma'arev lo, lukula mechuza, rabo bar avua, made an eru for all of mechuza. Mechuza is the name of a city. Ar saisa, Mishum Pira de Beituri. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Ar Saisa means Shchunos. He prepared an Eruv of each neighborhood separately. Velo Hoyu Ma'arvin Kolo Ir Kachas. And he didn't make an Eruv for the entire city as one unit. And why was that? Because of the Pira de Beituri. Rashi says Pira de Beituri. Guma gedoylo shenatsim sham garini tomorrow. These are large pits in which date pits were stored. These are the term pit obviously can have a double meaning. There's a something dug out as a pit in which things are stored, and date pits. So they stored date pits in these pits. And these were lamaichol behemo for animal feed. V'hoyu oisen gumos mavdilos bein hashchunos mitachas. These pits were very large, and they divided the neighborhoods into separate areas. U'b'chol shchuna hoyu mevuos harbe, and in each neighborhood there were many alleyways. U'ma'arvin yachad, and all the alleyways were joined together. V'lo hoyu mesatnin lo l'chaim, and there was no need for making separate lechis, separate upright poles for each alleyway. Mishum de'ir shel rabim v'nasis shel yochid havyo. The case of Mechuza was an ir shel rabim that had diminished into an ir shel yochid. V'chol chad v'chad havishur l'chavrei. And each neighborhood was a shiur for the next neighborhood. De'i lo havishur, if there was no shiur, hechot motzlavim v'voz harbe shebechol shchuna yachad. How could he join all the alleyways in all the neighborhoods together? V'chol ir shel rabim asher shiyochid, kochad v'chad ba'an pi nafshe bo eruve bo ilechi v'kora kechol ayur shel rabim. In any case of an ir shel rabim that became shel yochid, each neighborhood would have to have a separate eruv and a lechi and kora for each one of the alleyways, as is the din with all ayoros shel rabim. So in simple terms, the eruv that Rabbo Bar Avua made in Mechuza was an eruv of each neighborhood unto itself, and each other neighborhood was considered the shiur required. We continue in the Gemara. We had read that he made the eruv in an arsaisa fashion, meaning each neighborhood separately. The cholchad at the end of the line, the cholchad. The chad havishur lechavrei. Each neighborhood, as we saw in the Rashi, represented a shiur vis-a-vis the next neighborhood. Ve'afagav de'i bo l'aruvei bahadi hadodi loy motzu ma'arvi. And here again, we dashed on de'i bo is this issue of the potential. Even though in this case there was no potential for joining them all together, because these pits separated the neighborhoods from one another, so that you really couldn't walk from one neighborhood to the other. So what do we see? We see that you don't need to have the potential of being joined together in order for something to be considered a shiur. Hodar Omar. Notice the triangle flips over again, and Abai then said, Lo Domi. The case of Mechuza and Rabba Bar Avua is not similar to my case of the Bnei Kakunoi. Hosam Iboi La'ruvi Derech Gagois. In the case involving Mechuza, there was a potential of joining the different neighborhoods together over the roofs. There were balconies and different like ramps or bridges leading from one building to the next. And therefore there was a point of connection between one neighborhood and the next. So in the Mechuza case, there was a potential for joining together. Vehani lo ma'arvi, ilkoch navdon kovi. But in my case here, the houses that are facing the river without any windows cannot be joined together. There's no point of connection. Ilkoch navdon kovi. Therefore, let us prepare windows for these houses. Hoda Omar, and then Abai changes his mind again with the triangle point facing up, indicating that maybe there's no need for any further tikkun. He said, Kovi nami lo boi, I really don't need to make the windows. Da'au be tivno, da'avile lamor bar pupidosa, mi pupidisa. There's a illustration 117. There was a case of a shack that was used for storing hay that Mor Bar Pupidosa had, and he was from Pupidisa, Vishavya Shir Le Pupidisa, and that hay shack served as part of the shiur for Pupidisa. And now that's an entity that doesn't have any real dwelling value per se, and yet it did serve as part of the shiur. So you see that you don't have to have the real potential of joining the rest of the houses together. Omar, so Abaye, upon coming to this realization, then said, "Hainu de Omar li mor." This is what Rav Yosef had in mind when he said, "Chazi de lo matzviches alo bebei midrasha." See to it that they don't protest about what you do in the base medrash. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah: "Elo im kain also chutzo lo." Ki'ir Chadosha. With regard to an ir shel rabim, v'nasis shiochet, so the Mishnah mentioned that you must leave a shiur, something similar to ir Chadosha. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, ir achas hoysa b'Yehuda, there was a city in the Yehuda province of Israel, v'chadosha shmo, the name of the city was Chadosha. V'hoyu bo chamishim diurin anoshim v'noshim v'taf. There were 50 people living there, men, women, and children. Ubo hoyu misharim chachomim, and that was the standard that the chachomim based the idea of a shiur on. Rashi says that this city Chadosha was itself a shiur for a large city that was next to it. And that's what this source ends off by saying. V'hihoy so shiur. This ir Chadosha was a shiur for another city. So it became the standard for all cases of shiur. Ibayalaho, Chadosha mahu. The Gemara asks, regarding Chadosha, can an Eruv be made for it together, to join it together without any additional shiur need? So the Gemara responds to this question, Chadosha, ki hechi di'i havya shiur l'gedola gedola nami, havya shiur l'ketana. It's obvious that there is no need for any further shiur. Just like Chadosha was a shiur for the large city next to it, the large city constitutes the shiur vis-a-vis ir Chadosha. Ela, Kein Chadosha Mahu. The question really was like this. Another city that has 50 residents in it, that's not next to a big city. What is the din there? Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda. We have two opinions. Chad Omar by a shiur. One says that you do need to have a shiur. V'chad Omar lo by a shiur. And the other opinion says you don't need to have a shiur. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Sholosh Chatzeros v'chulei. Rabbi Shimon's idea of a shiur was three courtyards with two houses in each one. Omer Rav Chamo bar Gurya Marav, halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Chamo, in the name of Rav, rules like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yitzchok Omer afilu bayis echod v'chotzer achas. Rabbi Yitzchok says even one house and one courtyard. The Gemara asks, Chotzer achas saka baitach, a courtyard. It sounds like he is saying a courtyard without a house in it. But as Rashi says, that's not a dwelling, and we need to have a dwelling to be left as a shiur. Elo emo, rather say, what Rav Yitzchok is saying is, bayis echod b'chotzer achas. One house that is in a courtyard. That is enough to be a shiur. Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Hoda Rav Yitzchok. That which Rav Yitzchok says, Gemara Osvara, is it a tradition, or is it something that he thought of on his own? And Tosfos adds over here, Gemara, Tosfos says, Shehoya lo kabola, mishum tana, o is this something that Rav Yitzchok received as a tradition from some Tano? Because we haven't seen something like he says in our Mishnah. We saw 50 dwellings, or we saw 3 chatseros, But this idea of one chotzer with one house, we didn't see. So maybe he had a tradition from some Tana. Or possibly, Tosfos says, Shem Yisvara Omer Shekach Nira, Afal Pi She'en Shum Tana Soverkein. Or he is saying it based on some type of reasoning, even though there's no Tana that says thusly. He wasn't coming to actually rule thusly, but was rather saying that thusly things appear. Okay, and now with that explanation, we turn back to the Gemara. Omar Le, Rav Yosef says back to Abaye, he says, "My nafka lon mina, what difference does it make to you whether Rav Yitzchok came to it through some type of tradition or based on an observation of his own?" Amalei, Abaye says, if you're asking me what difference does it make, Gemara, Gemara, Zemorta, Tehe. In the study of Gemara, is it like a song? In other words, when you're studying Gemara, you are striving for accuracy and detail. Therefore, if Rav Yitzchok said something like that doesn't have a basis in Tanoim that we see, it's important for me to clarify whether it's something that he had as a tradition from some Tanaic authority, or it's something that he is saying as a mere observation without the intent for actually ruling on it. This is a theme that appears in a number of places in the Shas, the idea of striving for accuracy. And hence, that sets Gemara apart from something like a song, where it's in singing a song, you get the basic tune through, and that's sufficient. Whereas in studying Gemara, it's not just to get the basic tune across, but the detail is also important. Before going ahead in the Gemara, we have a topic heading introducing this sugya. On the side, under our Nosei heading, Mi Shebaderech Vadayin Toich Alpayim Mibeso. Someone who is on the road, and he is still within 2,000 amas of his house. Im Somim Lo Eruv Yosir Melpayim Mimenu. If they place an Eruv more than 2,000 amas from him, lo mafsid bekach es tchum beso. He won't lose being considered as part of his house. And that has major ramifications for this person, that he, since he is still within 2,000 amas of his house, he'll have option for his Shabbos walking and not be considered stranded. So now the Gemara. The Mishnah we have, Mishahoyo the Mizrach, the Omar Livnoi Arev Li Bimarov. This Mishnah in and of itself is very vague. The Gemara will have a Havamina and then have a final explanation of what is going on. So we will give a very superficial explanation, but realizing the Gemara has to fill in the details. So here we have two cases. The Aleph case is someone was b'mizrach. He was out in a field, and it was Shabbos was approaching. The Omar Livno, and he told his son while it was still Friday, Arev li b'marov, prepare for me an Eruv in the west. B'marov, the Omar Livno, Arev li b'mizrach. Or he was in the west, and he said to his son, make for me an Eruv in the east. So now there are two possibilities. And we have a double underline to highlight the two possibilities regarding distance between the Eruv that is going to be prepared and the person, and the distance between this person and his house. So we continue. Im yesh himenu ulebeso alpayim amo uleiruvo yoser mikan. We could take advantage, by the way, of illustrations in the Pirush Chai. However, caution must be taken if you do look at illustrations that what appears as an illustration on the Mishnah is really according to the Maskona of the Gemara. But if you focus on those illustrations, it might make it difficult to appreciate some of the questions that the Gemara raises. So, as we said earlier, we're going to leave the Mishnah a bit vague and then wait for further clarification in the Gemara itself. So, the Mishnah says that if there is from him to his house 2,000 amos, l'ruvu yoser mikan, but to get to the Eruv, he would have to go more, then mutar lebeso v'osur le'ruvo. He is considered as if he made no Eruv, and therefore he is associated with his house, and has 2,000 amos all around his house. Le'eruvo alpayim amo beso yeser mikan. If, however, he is within 2,000 amos of the Eruv that's made, but to get to his house, he would have to walk more. Osir lebeso mutar l'ruvo. He cannot go to his house. His house cannot serve as his mokvim shvisa, but his Eruv, yes. Hanosein es Eruvo b'Ibura shel Ir. Here we have illustration 120. The Ibura shel Ir is houses or other structures that are beyond the actual city limits, but within 70 and two-thirds amas of the city. And the Mishnah describes someone who places his Eruv b'Ibura shel Ir. He puts it in one of these houses jutting out from the city. Lo osa veloi klum. Rashi says toward the bottom, second line from the bottom, lo osa velo klum, shere belo eruv nami yesh lo min ho'ir alpayim l'chol ruach v'chol ir loi ka'ar ba'amois. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't accomplished anything, because even without having made this eruv that he places b'ibur shalir, he is part of the city, and he has the whole city as if it's 4 amos, and he has an additional 2,000 amos around the whole city anyway. So by placing the Eruv within his city's limits, so to speak, even though technically it's just outside the city, but it's still within the Ibura shel Ir, he hasn't accomplished anything. Nosnoi chutz l'tchum afilu amo achas. Now it's explained, Rashi explains based on the Gemara, this term chutz l'tchum means outside the Ibura shel Ir. If he places his Eruv outside the Ibura shel Ir, even one amo, we continue on Omid Beis, at the top of Omid Beis, ma sheniskar hu mafsid. Rashi explains at the top, ma sheniskar l'ruach zeh, that which he gains in this direction, So nifsad l'ruach shekenegdo. So that if he gains one amo to the east of the city, so then that which he originally was going to be able to walk 2,000 amos to the west of the city, it's now going to be a 1,999 amos. There is more detail, as Rashi goes on to say, sharei mona minu eruv alpayim l'chol ruach. He is now going to be counting 2,000 amos from the Eruv in all directions. V'nosnoi b'soif elef l'mizrach. If he were to place the Eruv, let us say, 1,000 amos to the east of the city, nimsa shekolois alpayim shel mizrach, it would then be that the 2,000 amos eastward of the Eruv ends, those 2,000 amos end, besof shloishes alofim le'ir. He's at that point 3,000 amos from the city, east of the city. V'nistakir elef, and he is actually gaining 1,000 amos more eastward, whereas originally he was able to walk just 2,000 amos from the city, eastward. Now, with the Eruv placed 1,000 amos east of the city, he can walk 3,000 amos east of the city. V'alpayim shomarov, the 2,000 westward, kolois besof elef shomarov ho'ir. The 2,000 westward ends now at a point only 1,000 amos west of the city. V'hifsin ho'elef, and he loses 1,000. V'komash malon di'ein hu'ir oile loy min cheshmen alpaim shel marov elo kula kedalet amos. Now this is a big, this is a very important chiddush. What the Mishnah is telling us is that in setting up the eruv just beyond the city, when counting his direction, his distance in the opposite direction, the city itself doesn't account for any of the counting. All it accounts for is four amos, and he continues his counting in the opposite direction based on how much he had gained in the direction of the eruv. This idea is illustrated in Pirush Chai, page 131, illustration 121. If you look carefully at that illustration, he placed his eruv 1,000 amos to the east of the city, enabling him to walk 2,000 more amos eastward. As far as westerly, the city, as we said, it accounts for 4 amos, 4 plus 996 for a total of 1,000 west. The Gemara. Kosalka daitoch, lemizrach equals lemizrach beso, and lemarov equals lemarov beso. In reading the Mishnah, we saw two cases. We saw him being bemizrach, and he told his son, make me an eruv in the marov, and we saw him bemarov. So the terms b'mizrach and b'marov, the havamin of the Gemara is the mizrach means he was east of his house, or in the case of l'marov, he was west of his house. Now, if you say that pshat, it would then come out that the house really is between himself and the eruv that is going to be made. Or in simpler terms, his house is closer to him. We have a little diagram that we wrote in the margin of the Gemara, calling it the Salka Daitoch Lemizrach Beso, and a second diagram, Lemarov Beso. This is a Havamina pictures, so that you have the person. If you say the first diagram has him east of the house, and the house is obvious, in the little circle, that's the Eruv. That's the Havamina, that Lemizrach means he is east of his house, and the Eruv is placed westward. And the second diagram shows the case of the person being Lemarov Beso, and the Eruv being placed more easterly of the house. Now, if you work with this assumption, the Gemara proceeds with a question, and the question lasts a number of lines, as the long question indicates. Bishlamo heimenu ulebeso alpayim amo uleiruvo yeser mikan. That was in the Mishnah. That was what we had labeled in the Mishnah, the Aleph case. So that this case would make sense, where from him, from the person to his house, you have 2,000 amos, and to his eruv, you have more. Mishtachas lo demoti lebeso velo moti leiruvo. So it would then come out that he could reach his house, and his house would be considered his shvisa, but not get to his eruv, because his eruv is more than 2,000 amos away. And he, when Shabbos sets in, he doesn't have access to that eruv. So that would make sense, the Aleph case of the Mishnah, the Aleph double underline case in the Mishnah, where we said, mutu lebeisav osu leiruvo. However, Ela, heimenu uleiruvo alpayim amu lebesu yeser mikan hechi mishkachas lo. But this case of his being within 2,000 amos of his eruv and his house being further away, how can that possibly be? As once again, assuming the havamina, as we illustrated in all of the illustrations, he's closer to his house than his eruv. So how can there be the Bay's case of the Mishnah that he's within 2,000 amos of the eruv and his house is even further away? So to answer this question, we have a couple of approaches. And we have, on the side of the Gemara, we introduced this piece of Gemara with a nosei, where we wrote Hezber Hodikotoni Lemizuch Lamarov Mishnah Seinu. The Gemara is preoccupied with explaining these terms, Mizuch and Mairov, of the Mishnah. Agamor Sho Elis Lefia Havamina. The Gemara will be asking, according to the Havamina, de Lemizuch Lamarov Koya Beso, that the terms east and west are references to this person being east of his house and west of his house. Yotzei de Beso Korove Lov Yosume Ruvo. It comes out that the house is closer than, is inevitably closer than his Eruv. Im kein echi tochein matziv she'eruvo besoch alpayim shelo beso michutz alpayim. Then how can you have a case where the Eruv would be within 2,000 and his house more than 2,000 from him? And yet the Mishnah said that that is a possibility. Under the Mivneh heading, you can see the diamond is featured, and these are Shnei Tshuvos L'Sheilah. These are two answers to this particular question. So now we turn back to the Gemara. Omar Reb Yitzchok. Mi Safris L'Mizrach means L'Mizrach Beso, and L'Marov means L'Marov Beso. Who says that the terms L'Mizrach and L'Marov were references to the person relative to his house? Loi, that's not the Pshat. L'Mizrach means L'Mizrach Benoi. L'Marov means L'Marov Beno. You have a person who was east of his son, and he asked his son to prepare for him an Eruv westerly. Or you have a person west of his son, and he tells his son, place for me an Eruv east of where we are. And being that that's the case, so it would still be, the two possibilities would still exist. That the son places the Eruv closer to him than his house, or he places the Eruv further from him more than the house. The second response is, Rovo bar Rav Shilo Omar, Afilu Temo Lemizrach means Lemizrach Beso, Lemarov means Lemarov Beso. You can still use the pshat that the speaker in the Mishnah is east of his house or west of his house. And the question then was, so how could it be that the person would still be closer to the Eruv than his house? Kegon dekoi beisei balachsona. It could be where the house, relative to where this speaker is at a diagonal from where he is. And the Eruv that's going to be placed would be placed in a straight line from where he is. There is an illustration that you can see in the Rashi, and of course in the Pirush Chai, illustration 122. And as such, he is, in that case, you can see he's east of his house, and yet the house could be further away than where his Eruv is placed, because we are illustrating this using the diagonal approach. The Gemara continues. Hanoisein Eruvo Besoch Ibura Vechule. And then the Mishnah went on to say, Nosno Chutz L'Tchum Afilu Amo Achas. And in explaining the Mishnah, we already answered what the Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara says, Chutz L'Tchum Salka Daitoch. In reading the Mishnah literally, it said, if he places his Eruv outside the Tchum, so then what he gains in one direction, he loses in the other, giving the impression that his Eruv is good. But that's not so. If the Eruv is placed more than 2,000 amas from where he is at the beginning of Shabbos, it's not a legitimate Eruv to begin with. That's why the Gemara asks, Chutz l'tchum salka daitoch? Could you even think that the Eruv is placed beyond his tchum and that would be his location? Elo emo, rather say, Chutz l'ibura. As we already explained in the Mishnah, that the chutz l'tchum meant outside, beyond the ibur ha'ir. The ibur ha'ir, of course, as we said before, was anything that was within 70 and two-thirds amas of the city proper would be considered the extension of the city. So the Mishnah is describing a case where he placed an eruv beyond that point. Mashi niskar hu mafsid. And if he gained an amo in, let's say, east of the city, he loses one amo west of the city. The Gemara asks, Ma sheniskar vesu loy. Are you saying that that which he gains is that which he loses in the other direction, and that's it? He doesn't lose a lot more. V'ha tanya. We have a Tanaic source which will present the question, where we'll see that he loses quite a bit more by placing his Eruv outside the city, one Amo. The Gemara asks, "V'hotanya, did we not learn hanoisein es eruva besoch ibura shel ir lo osav lo klum? If one places the eruv, as we learned earlier, within the ibur ha'ir, so he hasn't accomplished anything. Nosnoi chutz li ibura shel ir, if he places the eruv just outside that 70 2/3 mark, then and he places it afilu amo achas, even one amo outside the ibura shel ir." Mistaker oisa amo, he gains that one amo in, we'll say, in the to the east. Umafsid es kol ha'ir kula. And now note the dashed underline. This is the main problem. He loses the entire city, whereas originally the city was considered for him just like Dalet Amos, even though it was a large metropolis. By placing the eruv outside the Ibur Shir, the city now figures in his counting of his Amos in the opposite direction. Now, by having placed the Eruv outside the city, to the east, and you want to now count how many, you want to count your 2,000 Amos to the west, you don't count the city as a mere Dalet Amos and pick up the balance on the other side, the western side of the city, but you immediately, to when you count from your Eruv westwards, you start the clock immediately, your counter starts immediately, and therefore the city will be part of his Tchum measuring. So to try to simplify matters, by placing the Eruv outside the city by one Amo, what's the story? Do you lose the city? Meaning, is the city no longer considered an automatic four Amos, and you thereby gain a lot more on the other side of the city, 1,996 Amos to the west of the city? Or do you lose that ability of counting 1,996 Amos to the west of the city, because your counting already starts immediately as you move west of the Eruv? So it seems in the Mishnah he does not lose the city, and in the Brisa he does. Lo kashya. More answers. A long answer. Notice the long answer marking that really there is no contradiction. Kan shikosu midoso b'chatzio ir, kan shikosu midoso b'sofo ir. In the Briso case, as he is counting from his Eruv, his 2,000 Amos, he counts and counts, but the counting, he reaches 2,000 Amos, and he's still in the middle of the city. In such a case, so the city doesn't count as a mere four Amos, but his counting ends in the middle of the city, and he, what we said before, he loses the ability to include the city as a simple four Amos. Khan in the Mishnah shekosam idosu b'sofo ir, as he started counting to the opposite direction of where he placed the eruv, he counted and he reached the 2,000 Amma mark, and at that point he was already at the edge, the outer edge of the city. In other words, he was beyond the city limits, if you will. Uchravidi, and this is based on Rav Edi's teaching, Gomer Rav Edi, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hoya Moideid Uba, a person was counting his Tum from his Eruv. Uvekosamidosu Bechatsu Yir, and his counting ends and finds him in the middle of the city. Ein lo elo chatzir. He then has, as far as his Shabbos walking rights, he only has that half of the city that he reached in his counting. However, kol semidasa besofo ir, if his counting ends at the other edge of the city, whereby he counts 2,000 amos and he finds himself having counted till the very end of the city, nasis lo ir kulot kedalat amos, he then gets the city as a gift, so to speak, that it's considered only 4 amos, halachically, umashlimin loy es hashar, and he is able to complete the 2,000 amos on the other side of the city. So up to this point, we see Rav Edi quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and providing with this a resolution of the two sources. Now Rav Edi comments on his own regarding that which he said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Omar Rav Edi, ein elu elo divrei nevius. This that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught is nothing short of prophecy. Now this expression, ein elu divrei nevius, is an expression that has a certain negative connotation. If we look in the Rashi, he says, on the fourth line under the Gemara, nevius, he says, ki misnabe mipi akvura, it's like someone prophesying from the Almighty, sheinu no saint tam lidvorov, without giving any reason. Omron, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lidvorim halolo, he said this distinction without giving any basis for it. The ilav de gomir lehu me rabbe. If he, Rabbi Shimon Levi, had not had this as some type of oral tradition, lo have omar ki omil sebelotam, he wouldn't have said this on his own. So Rav Edi is saying that this may very well be a tradition of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, but we don't see any reason behind it. In other words, what is the basis for making this distinction? Omar Rava. Rava responds and says that this isn't something that he's saying just based on some type of oral tradition or unknown source. Both points are found in Tanaic sources. And Rashi says, Omar Rava, Umay Neviuse, what's the prophecy here? Trevayu Tanini, both of these are in Tanaic sources. But Trevayu Tanini b'masnisin de anshe ir gedola shehoyso lehen ir kitana besoch alpayim, a large city that was near a small city that was within 2,000 amas of the small city, the large city being within 2,000 amas of the small city, v'yotzimirun v'hochin leilich derech haktana, the people from the large city went on a journey on Shabbos via the small city. Mahalchin es kol ir kitana smuch lehen, they are able to walk through the entire small city that's near them. The alkocha hochi ko'omar, the Mishnah is definitely telling us the following, that when it says that they walk the entire small city, it means as follows. Hochi ko'omar mahalchin es kulo kedalin amos, they walk through the small city viewing it as only 4 amos, mashlim midos and chutzala, and whatever balance they need or have to complete the 2,000 amos is completed on the other side of the small city. The isa gadayach midos yir solik luhu, if you were to think that the city itself figures in their counting, then that would be obvious that they can walk up till 2,000 amos. So rather, by the source telling me that they can walk the entire small city, we're telling you something that you wouldn't have thought of anyway, or on your own. The source is telling us that they can walk through the entire small city, and it counting only in their counting, in counting terms as 4 amos, and continue the rest on the other side. The Pirush Chai has illustrations for you of this. Illustration 127 at the bottom of 100, page 132 shows you what we just explained, that the people from the Ir Gedola start their counting outside their city 1,000 amos. They reach the Ir Kitana, which itself measures 1,000 amos, but it's considered halachically like 4 amos, giving them the ability to complete their 2,000 amos by counting 996 amos on the far side of the Ir Kitana. So now let's see this in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Travayu Tanini. Both points of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi are found in a Tanaic source. Anshe Ir Gedolo Mahalchin is called Ir Ketana. And as we said, the whole Ir Ketana is considered like four Amos. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. V'ein Anshe Ir Ketana Mahalchin is called Ir Gedolo. But the people of the small city cannot walk through the entire large city. My taima, what is the basis of this? Lav mishum dahani kolsa midosin b'chatzio yir, v'hani kolsa midosin b'sofo yir. Is it not because, as far as the large city is concerned, their mida, their counting counts, their counting includes within the 2,000 amos the entire small city. However, the people from the small city, their counting of 2,000 amos does not include the entire large city. So Rava is sort of like he's wondering why Rav Edi reacted so strongly to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's distinction, when in fact Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's distinction is found in a Tanaic source. V'Rav Edi, Ravini's response is, Anshe Anshe Toni Umoikim Lo Benoisein Avol Moideid Loi Toni. Ravini, in reading this Tanaic source, has a totally different approach to the source. He has the two examples of the source in the positive, as Anshe Ir Gedola Mahalchines Ir Ketana, and his version of the source is different than the top line, and it reads Anshe Ir Ketana Mahalchines Kol Ir Gedola. Now, how could that be? Rav Edi explains that this source is describing where the Anshe Ir Gedola placed their Eruv in the Ir Ketana, and the people of the Ir Ketana placed their Eruv in the Ir Gedola. And that's what's called Noisein, placing of Eruv. Now, when you place your Eruv in the city, that enables you to consider the entire city as four Amos. But as far as Avol Modeid Lo Tnan, Rav Edi does not learn the source as referring to people that were simply counting their Amos walking out of the city. That's Modeid, without any placing of an Eruv. So as far as Rav Edi is concerned, the original teaching of Rabbi Shulman Levi doesn't have a Tanaic basis. The Gemara asks, Veloi, is that really so? The Hotnan, we have a Tanaic source that says, Ulamoide Shamru, one who is counting his Tum, Noisnim Lo Alpayim Amo, he gets 2,000 Amos from where he placed his Eruv, Sha'afilu Sof Midoso Kolo Bimora, where even if his counting ends in the middle of a cave, he doesn't get the whole cave. He has to stop where his counting ends. So the question here is, why, again, does Rav Edi call the din of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as Nevi'us when it is taught in this source? The idea of modeid, of counting, is taught in this source. So that, once again, if a person was at some location at Erev Shabbos, and he wants to establish how far he can walk, so he starts counting 2,000 amos. If his 2,000 amos end in the middle of a cave, he must stop over there. So this concept of kolso midoso in the middle of a city is found in a Tanaic source. So the Gemara answers what was really bothering Rav Edi in Rav Yeshua ben Levi's teaching is sof ho'ir itzterich olei delo tnan. This idea of the entire city where the counting ends at the outer edge of the city, and that grants you the entire city's being counted as four amos, this is not taught in a Tanaic source, and this is what Rav Edi was concerned with, and therefore he called Rabbi Shimon Levi's teaching Nevi'u, something that doesn't have a basis. Before we close our shiur today, let us just remind you that you can reach us at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.